Sell me your car today. This is Clay Edwards, and I want to buy your car, truck, or SUV today. Are you tired of dealing with all the marketplace maniacs and the Craigslist crazies? I hear nightmare stories every day about counterfeit checks for vehicles here in central Mississippi. Did you know if you get ripped off with a counterfeit check, your insurance company will not cover you? Let me make you a fair market value offer for your vehicle today. Contact me today at claybuyscars.com. That's claybuyscars.com. Sean, I want to talk about a theory I have. I made a video about this on TikTok yesterday, and it rang so many bells that one angry man called the radio station from Alabama demanding that I take it down or he was going to sue. I don't know what exactly his grounds for suing are. I hurt his feelings. I was above target. Whatever. Neither here nor there. The video didn't get taken down, and here we are talking about it. I just said, hey, look, I'm 46 years old. I came in there kind of at the tail end of Gen X. And I've noticed something.
Yeah, we're like the youngest Gen Xers, aren't we?
Correct. I mean, technically they call us Zillennials, but I refuse.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the 77 to like 81 or something.
Yeah.
No, I'm a Gen Xer. Kiss my butt.
I say the same thing all the time. I don't want to identify with them.
No. Mm-mm. I don't identify as that at all. I've just noticed this thing since Trump came down that escalator. I looked at a lot of the black guys my age, mm-hmm. and those seem to be the ones that are the most angry, with the most vitriol, the just the scowl on their face all the time, that just think that the world is built on white supremacy and there's a racist around every corner waiting to jump out and get them. And man, that ain't how we grew up. So I don't know where this shift in attitude came from. Because I grew up with these guys in the 80s, especially the 90s, the early 2000s, till we kind of really got into our adulthood and stuff, and everybody had to get jobs and, you know, go on about their lives, start families, whatnot, careers. Man, we grew up with Jordan on the wall. And I'm talking about as a white guy. There wasn't no racism. I mean, we grew up idolizing black athletes. I stayed overnight at black kids' houses. They stayed at mine. When a guy I don't even call a friend, I call a brother, as a black dude. Our family still do stuff, and he comes in from Arizona all the time. We grew up idolizing black athletes. The hip-hop stuff. I mean, tie that back into our story from earlier today. That ain't a race crime. That's some guys listening to too much rap music crime. We were those kids. We grew up on, I'm just going to kind of start early to mid-90s here. I'm not going to go all the way back to the 80s, but NWA, mm-hmm. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, shifting gears into like the Tupac, East Coast, West Coast, all that stuff. Then it was when hip hop took over the South, you had No Limit, Master P, and all that. Then it shifted gears to Cash Money taking over for the 99 and the 2000. We were all in the clubs together. Our neighborhoods were way more blended than they are now. Our schools, especially in Jackson, were way more blended than they are now. If you wanted to make an argument for racism now just because of the fact that we're very segregated now, I could entertain that thought from both sides, not just white people getting away from black people. Black people have done a really good job of getting away from white people as well. And, you know, until you get out in the suburbs, and then look at there, everything's blended again. The suburbs are not all white by no stretch of the imagination. That's a myth. Like, go look at the attendance figures or like the demographics, not figures, the attendance demographics for somewhere like Pearl or Brandon.
Yeah.
It ain't what you would call white schools. They're about 50-50. Anyway.
Yeah, because, I mean, most people want to, you know, send their kids to safe areas. I mean,
safe areas.
Yeah, that's human nature. I mean,
it's called urban flight, not white flight.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, not necessarily what it's, you know, become. I mean, I think if you have means, and especially if you have children, I tell this to a lot of my friends all the time too. I don't have any kids, so for me, it's fine. I can live there, and it's not as big a deal. But I mean, if I had kids, it's a tough sell to stay in Jackson. I mean, you've got the means to send them to private school, and that's different in that scenario. But if you're just a middle class person, I mean, you know, how do you can't send your kid to Jackson public schools. I think everybody kind of knows that at this point.
100%.
White or black people, they all feel the same way. I mean, that's
100%. If you got the means, you're out of Jackson.
Yeah.
Or your kids are dang sure out of JPS.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, just factual. That's where it's just, you know, that's a, and again, like I said, that goes for black and white people. I think all feel that same way. Because it's just not sustainable over there.
Yeah. Well, so I have continuing on my theory here about that 40, we'll just let's say 45 to 55, 46 to 55 demographic, mm-hmm. why they seem to have been the ones that are, like I say, man, just had the most racist vitriol right now. I can't think of a better, they feel the most oppressed. Whatever I'm trying to say here exactly, I can't quite articulate, but it's the ones that beat the can the loudest about America being a racist place. Other than the young Gen Zers, they're the most miserable people on planet Earth.
Did I tell you? I'll get in that one moment. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. That's the Gen Z group that their political opinions have shifted so much.
They're the Free Palestine people. Yeah, that crew.
I was having a conversation with a guy who was a bartender. I'm not gonna say where, but you know, it was that right after St. Patty's Day when we all hung out? You know, and went out with, you met my friend Will, and yeah. Will and I had kind of volunteered on the Gore campaign back in 2000, and we were talking about me and this guy I met. We were talking about a professor that we had at Millsaps who I dearly loved, and apparently he had him too, but he's about 16, 17 years younger than me, professor died, was a political science professor, and Will and I were talking about the Gore campaign, and this guy was like, you know, I would never vote for Bill Clinton for president because he's a conservative, and Will and I just kind of looked at each other like, you know, that's the generational shift. And that's what this kid said. He said, you know, you guys are like 15, 16 years older than me. You guys are part of the old Democratic group that think Bill Clinton is like who you'd love to vote for. But their Gen Z group would never even consider it. And he was a smart kid, you know, smart guy. Yeah. He wasn't giving me just like some stupid opinion. And I just thought that was really fascinating. And that kind of goes to what you're saying with the Gaza people and that group. That's just a different mindset that they have now that they believe that everything is, you know, an identity politic issue. And that, you know, that the whole approach that we used to have is like, let's build this colorblind society that you're talking about with everybody getting along. They don't want that. They want it to be based, like your identity is the most important thing.
Well, to that point, their parents are us, mm-hmm. are Gen Xers.
Yeah.
And that's the group that has shifted into, especially in the minorities, shifted into thinking everything's racist. That everything that whatever's happened in their life, why they're not where they want to be in life, is because of their race.
Yeah.
Versus the effort they chose to not or to put in or not put in. And Sean, like it really, you watched it break in live time.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, I'm gonna take it back to Trump because that's where that's the lens I'm seeing this through. When Trump came down that escalator and announced he was running for president as a Republican. After Hillary Clinton had already said she was going to do it, after Obama had anointed Hillary, basically, after 8 years of Obama, the thought of having to go to a white Republican was just, huh? It's just, they were gobsmacked. And they told us all, Trump's racist. And for once, normally that would work. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to vote for the person that black people tell me is racist. I don't want them to think I'm racist by proxy. But we looked at him finally and said, hold on now, this don't make no sense. You guys have been co-signing on Trump for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Y'all told us he wasn't racist. Y'all told us he was welcome to the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about him in all your rap songs, all the NAACP awards. You know, he was a pop culture icon. You guys told us this. Now you're just on the flip of a switch. He's a racist. He's a Klans member racist. But, bro, I got the resume. That don't check out.
But you know, that's interesting. So I kind of looked at the break because I was telling you I'm listening to stuff about how black men particularly are trending to Trump, though, this time. And so Wall Street Journal just did a poll 4 days ago. This is interesting. Black men, this is not all black people, just black men, 30% say they're in the seven key swing states say they would definitely or probably vote for Trump for president. 30%.
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely, you're seeing a shift.
That's incredible. Like, you know, number for just, but I know this is not all African-American sport. This is just black men. And I think this political article I pulled up about it. It's about, you actually brought this up one day about when they were in Atlanta and there was black folks cheering Trump going to the courthouse. Yeah. You remember that? It says that black men feel like they've been persecuted against, and Trump is kind of is looking that way too. So they're identifying with him as he's being taken advantage of by the system, and they feel they have been too. So maybe that kind of goes into what you're talking about, like the anger and stuff. And they got that anger is pushing a lot of them to Trump too.
Sure. Well, I think so. And again, I'm only looking at this through a lens of my social media circle, what I see in media. But that is also some of the group that's starting to turn the corner a little bit as well.
Yeah.
You know, people that got some life experience and can say, hey, like to your point, I've been persecuted. He's going through with what I feel like I've been going through. I just go back to like how on the flip of a switch does a guy go from being co-signed on for 30 years to nope, he's a racist. We said so. You got to vote that way. Well, man, it takes more than you telling me because I said so for me to change my opinion on something. I need to see the evidence, and there's never been any evidence that Trump is a racist, and I'm damn sure not racist by proxy.
Well, I mean, apparently you're probably right. I mean, if this number, 30%, that's probably the highest African American support a Republican's ever got in our lifetime. You know, at least I would say.
Well, I remember them saying if he could have got 10% of African American support in the 2020 election, he would have walked away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what it ended up being, but
it said, I think I looked it up. I think he got close to 10, or maybe, this time though, he's looking at total African American support at around 17%.
Yeah,
which is that's a massive increase. And then you're talking about, like I said, 30% of actual black men, then the seven key swing states, which if you look at it that way, how bad that would hurt Biden in those, because that's where the presidency's won in those states.
Well, that's why they're piping all these illegals into those swing states.
I mean, what, do you like to try to register them to vote so they could vote?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break real quick. We'll pick this back up on the other side. You got Sean Yurkron here in the studio with me. This is the Clay Edwards Show. We'll be right back on WYAB.